powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
You are listening to Bump and Stacy. We're joined now by Jaron Reed on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Jaron, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going? It's going good.
We are happy to be able to talk to you. And my first question is probably one that you've gotten a lot, but I'm going to ask you anyways, which is why Seattle?
Like I've been telling everybody, it's home. You know, I was drafted to Seattle, played 5 years there. And, you know, it's where I want to be. You know, I've been gone for a minute, but I'm back. You know, it feels right. And, you know, if we were to win anything, you know, there's no better place to do it than the place you started out at.
Hey, man, one of the good things about getting experience in the NFL is that you figure out, you know, who you are even more as a player, right? This is what your sixth, seventh year or something like that in the league. Is there something that you found out about yourself and your game while you were away from Seattle that you want to bring back?
Yeah, you know, a couple of things I learned, you know, while I was gone from, you know, different type of coaches, different type of coaching styles, you know, and I feel like it helped me become a better all-around player. And now that I get to bring that back to Seattle, you know, I plan on showcasing that this season. I'm not going to, you know, elaborate too much.
Now, Jaron, I don't want to gas you up, okay? But no defensive lineman has had double-digit sacks since you and Frank Clark were here. Are you looking at matching that total again this year?
Hey, you know, that would be great. You know, I'm just going to go out there. I'm not going to try to do anything too much. I'm just going to come in and, you know, try to do what I can to try to help the team win. I'm going to play hard. You know, I'm going to get them on fullest, but, you know, I'm going to play within the system. You know, if it comes and it happens and I have another great year like that, of course I'll take it. You know, I'm shooting for it for sure.
Right.
It's in the back of my mind. I've been watching.
Hey, man, when you look at this team, it looks a bit different at some spots when from the time that you left. From the outside looking in, before you decided to join the Seahawks, how did you view this team and this organization?
Oh, man, you know, just watching from the outside, you know, they look explosive. I think Geno and Kenneth, the running back, you know, I think they the whole offense, DK does what he does, Tyler does what he does, they look explosive. Geno looked really good. You know, he's one of the top quarters in the NFL now, and the defense looked electric. You know, it looked like the coach was letting them play. And that's what you want, you know, as a player. The coaches let you play, you know. And they don't want to hold anything back from any type of player. And, you know, it just looked fast. You know, the atmosphere, it set speaks for itself. You know, you can't, you know, duplicate that anywhere. So
yeah,
I was just ready to get back into it, and I'm excited, man. I'm very excited.
How do you feel about being in a 3-4 compared to, I know that you had some experience in there with other teams, but being in a 3-4 now in Seattle since they were a 4-3 when you were here last?
Yeah, I think it's a good change up. I like it. Not similar defenses, but scheme-wise, you know, it was the same thing. And I think I fit in it perfect. You know, you can have a versatile defense. It's 3-4, 4-3, nickel. You know how it goes, football talk. I think it's great. I feel like I can play anything. I played in two different schemes since I've been gone, so yeah. I played in both.
Now, when you got the call, when you figured out, you know, all right, I'm going to go back to Seattle, is there anybody on the team that you hit up? It was like, man, let's link up real quick, man. Let's talk about this situation.
You know, I'm pulling a couple guys trying to talk to some. probably keep it on the wraps, but, you know, trying to make something happen. You know, it's good to try to come somewhere where you can bring a familiar face if you can. But, you know, the guys there are good and they're great. Can't wait to meet the ones I haven't met or known already.
Yeah. Who are some of those players? Because I was trying to think. I was like, all right, so your last year here was 2018, I think. So DK was the following 2020. Year, 2020. So were there any players where, like, you now hear that you, like, don't really know that well that you are curious about?
Yeah, I don't want to mess his name up, but, you know, Chino, is it Chino? Or
Uchenna.
Oh, Uchenna.
Chenna.
Yeah.
Chenna. I don't know him. Of course, the draft picks, I don't know them.
Yeah, of course.
A couple of the old linemen. You know, the whole line is completely new. Yeah, a couple of guys, though, that
Yeah.
You know.
What do you think your role is going to be like as far as leadership now? You know, you've been in the league for a while, I believe, 29, 30 years old. You've experienced some things. What was your role like before you left, and then how is it going to change now that you're here for the second time as far as leadership?
Yeah, well, you know, before I left, you know, we still had Bobby, KJ for a little bit. And, it was cool, but, you know, I think that, you know, I could definitely bring some, because it's a younger group now and it's a younger space. Younger guys, and I definitely think I can bring experience. And I'm not going to come and try to step on anybody's toes or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to still fall in, but I am, you know, familiar with the coaching staff and, you know, with the people in the office, with the whole organization. And, you know, I'm just going to come in. I'm just going to try to help lead by example. You know, I'm not going to really do too much talking. I'm going to try to make sure everybody's doing the right things and is in the right place and, you know, just head on and that we can work hard and that, let them know that we can definitely be a dominant defense in this league.
Yeah,
so, you know, with us being a leader or anything, you know, I'm just going to try to be the guy in the locker room that can help the team.
Yeah, Jaron, I know listeners love hearing that from you. You mentioned Bobby. Would you like to see him back here in Seattle? There's a possibility he does resign.
Of course. I mean, that's a future Hall of Fame we're talking about. You know, who wouldn't love to have him back in Seattle? I mean, that would be great. You know, hopefully he will want to come back too.
Jaron, when you look at this team, I see just a lot of potential, man. And I feel like you're at the part of your career where you want to set yourself up for success as well. Obviously, it's a team sport. You want to have the team success. And I think that this defense is a few pieces away from really pushing this team over the top. Is that the way you saw the situation, too, and that influenced your decision to come back?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, outside of actual football on the business side, stuff happens in this league all the time. And what they're able to do right now, I'm so excited for, because you can just see or feel where they're coming from or where they're trying to get to. And I think they are doing everything, putting the right pieces in and focusing on where they need to focus on so you can be a great team in the mm-hmm. league. You know, offenses put up all the points. They do everything glitz and glamour, but you know, defense wins championships. It's a saying that goes a long way and has been said for a long time, you know. And, of course, what other way than to have it with playing a dominant defense with electric offense? That's great. That's a great combination.
Hey, so take us behind the scenes just a little bit before you sign with Seattle. Is it like you hear from your agent, hey, John Schneider and the Seahawks are reaching out? Did your agent reach out to them? I mean, what was that process like?
You know, we just talked. I talked to him. He told me a few teams were interested or whatnot. And then when we were able to get the conversation going with the teams, you know, pit here and there, you know, you feel it out and you go with the feel. Of course, there were some other teams.
Right.
But, you know, I kind of had it in my head what I wanted to do and where I wanted to be, especially at this point in my career. And It happened, you know. They wanted me back. I wanted to come back, and, you know, we made it happen.
One of the questions I love asking, especially when guys make their second round trip, right, back to Seattle. Seattle has a knack of bringing dudes back. Your favorite spot to eat? Is there a spot where you sign with Seattle and go, man, I cannot wait to go visit this spot?
I've actually got a couple. It's a couple. I think one of them is, if I'm not mistaken, is Simply Soulful.
Mm-hmm.
Daniels, of course. I kind of miss Joey's a lot, too.
Joey's is the spot.
yeah, it definitely is. Yeah, I say if anything, that would be top. It's one more, but I can't remember the name. And I actually end up finding it looking for soul food. But, yeah. So I'll say them three.
I'm glad you get to reunite with some, because that's one of the better spots about, or better parts about, like, you know, like it's for a lot of players, you know, like you go to different teams and it's like maybe that city isn't home, but you're like, but I kind of know it. And there's a familiarity with being able to be like, at least I know this place. And like, I have people I know there and there's restaurants I know there. So that's got to feel pretty good, too. Hey, tell me a bit about, here's what's interesting about you coming back, too. you're not new to the team. Like, you're coming back and you're new for 2023, but you know the kind of guys Pete Carroll wants, right? Like, you know the kind of guys that work for this defense. So, you know, Jaron, we're going to let you go in a couple minutes, but we're going to continue our conversation about the kind of guys this defense needs. What kind of guys do you think they could use? And this isn't a slight on the guys already here. You're not, you're saying in addition to what's here.
We need fast guys. We need physical guys, tough guys, smart guys, reliable guys, trustworthy guys. I mean, the list can go on. Those are all the tangibles you look for players. That I would say, you know, when you're trying to sign a guy, bring a guy in. And like I told you earlier, I think they're doing a wonderful job doing that. You know, I was a football junkie myself, so I watch the game. I don't know a lot of guys personally. Some guys, I'm talking about in general, but some of the guys we do did sign. Of course, you know, you watch them, you see them, and I think the Julian Love signing was huge. He's been a good player in his league for the past few seasons. I like the Devin Bush move. That was cool. I think him and Jordan Brooks, but they would be really good. And, you know, we just keep continuing on what we're doing now. Draymond, dominant player, young guy, is going to take off. He's going to be a great player for a long time. And, you know, when we get this thing rolling, I think it's going to be a nice, exciting defense to watch.
Man, when I watch you play and then you name all these other names, the thing that pops into my head is that I want to see this defense just be nasty. You know what I'm saying? It's different on the defensive side of the ball, man. I grew up on the offensive side of the ball. You know, it's a bit more tactical with stuff. Y'all can be nasty, and I think that's what this defense has been missing. And when they signed you, I was like, yeah, we gonna get our nasty back, man. Am I accurate? Yeah. Is that what Jay Reid bringing back, baby? Let's go.
Hey, absolutely, man. You know, it's a gritty game, and you got to play gritty. Yeah, I'm excited, man. You know, my style of play speaks for itself. But you know, it's all love. You know, you just gotta love the game. You just have a bunch of guys on defense that love ball. You know, at the end of the day, you know, that's gonna be willing to come in there and play fast and physical and want to practice and want to learn and study, so we can go there and play dominant on Sunday.
All right, Jaron, we are glad to have you back here in Seattle, and we're going to let you go. You have a lot to get to. Take some vacation time this offseason still. Get back to those food spots. Enjoy being back in Seattle, and we've loved talking to you, man. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, again, he is Seahawks defensive tackle Jaron Reed, kind enough to join us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. What do you make of Jaron saying, look, here's what we need. I'll tell you what we need. Long checklist, because he's right. He's saying you don't just need to get bodies in there. You need smart, fast, big, tough, physical guys that know ball. And I think that what this defense has been lacking for a while is almost like a full identity as a unit, right? From the outside looking in, I was very intentional in mentioning, you know, not to gas Jaron up, but like, it's been a while since you've had defensive linemen be Pro Bowlers or defensive linemen get double-digit sacks for this team, because you've had individual good players. Mm-hmm. You've had individuals be Pro Bowlers, right? Be in Tariq Woolen's case, a nominee for Defensive Rookie of the Year. You've had good individual performances. You have not been good as a defense. So what's missing?
No, you haven't. He had a big checklist, and I'm not sure if he said this word, but I kind of got that from him. Mm-hmm. Reliable.
Yes,
you need
he did.
Reliable.
Yeah.
Okay, you need reliable guys. You need guys who are going to align and assign correctly, and then that's where the nastiness comes out. And when you get reliable guys, guys you know who are going to do the right things and then play with that intensity, that's when you start to see the defense just gain that cohesion, and then play start to are being made, and then momentum shifts happen, and that's what a defense can do. And honestly, when I saw that Jay Reid was coming back, that is the first thing I thought about. I love the intensity and the tenacity that he plays with. And I was looking at the team last year, and I go, of course they're intense out there. These dudes are just lining up and saying, "Oh, let's just go have fun and see what happens." No, but there are some guys who jump off the screen because it just looks a little different. Mm-hmm. It looks a bit more violent. It looks a bit more nasty, and that's what he's going to bring in addition to his skill. And then you look at Jones on the other side. He does the same thing. So that's why I'm excited, man. I think that they're making personnel moves that fit the scheme, but then mentally guys who are just going to get after it.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I think that, you know, as critical as we, Royal We, can be about the Seahawks defense, about teams in general, right? Any team that doesn't make it to a championship, you're going to talk about what went wrong. That happens every year in every city on every sports station. But I think that maybe what I don't spend enough time acknowledging is how hard it is to become that unit, because you can have elite players. You're right. Every single player out there on defense is giving it his all. Every single player out there was one of the best players on his collegiate team and one of the best players from his hometown, mm-hmm. right? No matter what. It is so hard to make that all work together as a cohesive unit that it's not just about having great athletes. It's about having the right athletes, the right guys, guys that respect each other, that trust each other, that can communicate with each other, that understand and think the same way so that they can read and react the same way and pass things off. Like when you think about the Legion of Boom, when they were at their best, there was just an unspoken communication that they were able to have with each other because you understand ball the same way.
Yeah, and you are invested in what you're being taught in your scheme. When everyone trusts the scheme that you're being taught and installed throughout OTAs and training camp, and then you trust the guy next to you, that's when you're allowed just to play football. If I am a safety and I'm thinking, man, I got to cover for my safety. He didn't get the call. I don't trust he's going to have the call. I got to cover for my corner. He's going to bite on something. Now you're not able just to do your job and play ball. You're so worried about other things. So that's always the goal, is that you got to have guys all on the same page, mm-hmm. believing in the scheme, and then knowing what they're doing. And then once you get into week one, week two, and you're looking at film, that's where you really see it, is when you get into the training, into the film room, and you're seeing stuff on film that obviously you're not recognized on the field because you can't see everything. You're saying, okay, I can trust Tariq Woolen on this call. I can trust Dre Jones on this call. That's where you really start to see that stuff.
From the 360, speed was his first word, and I found it noteworthy. Absolutely, speed, no more missed tackles. If I see one more 80-yard touchdown from some T.J. Hockenson knockoff, so help me God. This hour, Bump and Stacey's brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Let's get to Headline Rewrites.
Extra, read all about it.
Headline Rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacey.
Headline number one, Japan walked it off last night in a thriller against Mexico. They advanced to tonight's WBC championship game against USA. What's the real headline?
It's just awesome to see Ohtani and Trout play some meaningful baseball. You love that for them.
You know, we ask, like, what does spring do for these young guys? Gives them experience. What do these moments do for these young guys? Gives them experience. Trout and Ohtani are getting experience right now. Right, we're going to take this back to Anaheim, guys. This is how you win.
This is what it is. I'm very, very excited. So this game, I kept messing up the Eastern Pacific. I'm sorry, you guys. It is 7 p.m. Eastern. Not that that matters to any of you. 4 p.m. Pacific. So 4 p.m. You've got a Kraken game at 5:30. So I know some of you are going to get two screens going or maybe swap over or whatever. But this game begins at 4. So you can watch a ton of it, if not all of it. It's really, really exciting. I mean, I have found my own, I'm going to out myself as a hypocrite, where initially treating the WBC like, okay, well, when are players coming back to camp? And then gradually transitioning to like, oh, I can't wait to tune in for this final, for this championship.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to see these guys compete at a high level against each other and then go back to their teams and change the setting. Because you go from essentially the World Cup of baseball, and then you go back to training camp, and you have to switch gears a little bit. So it was nice to have them start off in the Cactus League or whatever other league that they're in, nice and mellow, ramp it up real quick for the WBC, and then get back to your teams and say, all right, man, we got, a week and a half or something left before this gets real? Let's get it.
Headline Rewrites.
Headline number two, Roger Goodell is expected to receive a new multi-year deal to remain the NFL's commissioner. What's the real headline?
It sounds like a lot of NFL fans are forgetting what the owners want in a commissioner. I saw a lot of people saying, "What? Why? Roger Goodell getting an extension? Why? What has he done?" The answer, make the league billions.
Billions upon billions.
Keep those TV deals going, broker deals with Amazon Prime for Thursday Night Football, which I know is like stupid to a lot of you and you think it's ridiculous, but let me tell you what, there's money there. Like, grow the league. Top 20 most watched programs every single year. What are like 19 NFL games? I mean,
and he works for the owners. The owners hire him. He works for the owners. He don't work for you. He don't work for me. He works for the owners. And so far, he's helped the owners put a lot of money in their pocket. He's navigated them through a COVID season where the cap was down. You lost some money. Now, all numbers are saying the NFL is back. and boo him all you want to. I don't agree with how he responds to some questions. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with how he dances around some mm-hmm. things. But the truth of the matter is they've grown the NFL draft. It is a big event. They tweaked the Pro Bowl, which was all right in some cases. But the product on the field has remained the same, and it's getting better and better and better. So don't like him, but he's doing a good job.
Well, and you know what else they pay him for? The ability to dance around those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, put your foot in your mouth, but not too far. Yeah. That's kind of what he does. He's like, yeah, you're going to get hate for some of this, and you're going to be criticized for not having a stern answer or a concise answer or specifically addressing concerns from reporters and fans. But as long as you don't have a major gaffe and look like an idiot, that's what we're paying you for.
Yep.
Headline rewrite.
Headline number three, Jared Kelnick left Monday's game early, but no fear. Scott Service said Kelnick experienced just some minor quad tightness. What's the real headline?
He's listed on the injury report as just yoked out of his mind. Like, that's the injury, unfortunately. He's too swole. I'm not too concerned about most of the injuries that are in camp. Really, the only one we're watching, Curtis, thank you for pointing this out earlier, is Dylan Moore, obviously, with that quad injury that'll keep him sidelined for 2 to 4 weeks. He'll miss the opener, so we're all eyeing that middle infield to see what the depth looks like there. That's really the only real concern for Mariners fans.
I call Jared Kelnick's injury the Chris Ivory injury. I used to play with Chris Ivory at Washington State. This guy came in as an 18-year-old looking like a 6-year veteran, just swole. Too swole, no body fat, and in the summertime he'd always cramp up. We're like, bro, you need some body fat on you. You are
that's
too swole.
Is.
So yeah, that's and Chris Ivory went on to have a great NFL career.
Yeah.
So you know, JK. I'm sorry, Jared Kelnick, no JK. He's too swole. Put a little fat on there. Have an In-N-Out burger or two.
Once
while you're
in
down
a
there.
While. Did you guys see that video, by the way, of Ty, JP, Cal, mm-hmm. and I think Bryce Miller going around and they went to In-N-Out. Curtis, did you see that? It was so funny. I loved that video.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ty Cal, France, really funny.
Cal also an underrated star in that one because somebody goes, are you JP Crawford? And then Cal Raleigh goes, he is him.
I just appreciate them asking for the hats. I appreciate them signing for the Padres fans that are out there.
You get the wrong color on, kid.
Yeah. Hey, get that teal on. Oh, speaking of, we've been asked when our Teal Tuesday is going to be.
So April 4th, first
Tuesday of the regular season. I am not in trouble for not wearing teal today. Bump isn't wearing teal today. Okay. No.
Why are you bringing me into this?
Because I'm bringing you down with me.
Stacey, you're the only one that we really got to worry about.
Yeah.
I'm gonna wear teal.
Bump, I said that I never missed.
I missed one day. Man, one day.
It was like 3 or 4.
Okay, but the one day that I missed, I had Katie literally bring my teal sweater to work so that I could put it on.
And then you had someone
sent me teal gloves. So
yeah.
Both times it was fine. And I ended up, by the end of the show, I was wearing teal, and that's all that matters. At some point in the show, you just have to have teal. That's the point of Teal Tuesday.
Sound like my son when he forgets his jersey or something. Like, oh, I forgot it, but I had to go
Can
home and get it for
school?
You.
Yeah, but then I got it. But then I had it.
Yeah, you had it.
That's what it's going to be. I don't have to worry. No one call me out until Tuesday the 4th, okay? Everyone calm down. Speaking of, celebrate Mariners opening day. This is going to be on the 30th by joining us at our live broadcast outside the left field gates at T-Mobile Park. We'll be live starting with us, Bump and Stacey, at 10 a.m. with Wyman and Bob taking you all the way up to the pregame show at 6 p.m. You're listening to Bump and Stacey now. Now on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Talking about KJ Wright's latest at 12:45. What number do the Seahawks have to play with the salary cap? That's coming up at 1. Before then, taking a look around the NFL. Don't go anywhere.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Rost.
All right, we talked about Mel Kiper's latest mock, which has the Seahawks picking Anthony Richardson at number 5 and a wide receiver at number 20. Daniel Jeremiah's latest is also out. Bump, he's got Seattle taking Jalen Carter at number 5. Mm. That's a popular pick among a lot of mock drafts. He also has a wide receiver at 20, though. This time it's USC's Jordan Addison. Why so many wide receivers mocked at 20 to Seattle, who I don't believe have taken a wide receiver in the first round under Pete and John?
That's a good question.
You done played yourself, Bump.
Is it a good question?
Congratulations.
A point on the board. Okay. But no. To answer the question.
It was a high question, honestly, but
it was
cool.
I thought it was pretty good.
They're doing this because, I mean, the Seahawks have a need for a number 3 receiver, right? You look at their depth chart, you got Lockett, you got Metcalf, you got Young over there. Penny Hart is a free agent. I believe they didn't sign him. You need a number three receiver, or you could use a number three receiver. Maybe they feel like a true number three receiver will unlock something in Geno Smith and in this offense. But everyone locally, we're looking at this defense and saying, let's take care of that first. So say they do go Jalen Carter or a defensive player with that number five pick, and then they decide to go offense at number 20. I'm looking at a center, not necessarily a receiver. There are so many good receivers in this draft. Somebody, I'm just going to name you a couple to get you to think about them, right? Got Quentin Johnson, TSU, Jordan Addison, USC. You got Jackson and Jigba, Ohio State. But I'm going to go further down because those guys are going to be the first ones to go. And if you get a receiver later, then you're going to have to deal with some of these guys. I like Ronnie Bell at Michigan. Jake Bobo seems like a Seattle type of dude. He was at Duke. Now he's with or was with UCLA. You got Elijah Higgins. Marvin Mims. There are just so many guys that you could use as a number three receiver. You don't need a Justin Jefferson. You don't need a Jamar Chase. You need a number three. So I would chill on that. Go offensive line if you're going to go offense with that 20 pick.
He's also got, this is still Daniel Jeremiah's draft. He's also got Hendon Hooker going to Minnesota in the late first round. That would take Hendon Hooker off the board for Seattle, who's been mocked to Seattle in slightly later rounds, more like a day two pick. Now, I would still love, just for the fun of it, to see Seattle go with a quarterback at some point in the draft. Let's talk, though, about Hendon Hooker or potentially some of these other like later first round or early second rounders going to other teams. Why? Because it changes the dynamic of the NFC. Kirk Cousins is not the answer in Minnesota, and I'm sure some Minnesota fans will point right back at Seattle and go, well, you think Geno's the answer for you? Which, like, sure, fair question, fair thing to point, but, like, Minnesota's got to eventually find their guy.
Yeah, Minnesota does have to. Kirk Cousins has shown he is good enough to keep you competitive. He will do exactly that. But he's reaching that point of his career, too, where it's like, okay, we have to start planning for the future. Where do we see this team in 5 years? And I guarantee you, they don't see a world with the Minnesota Vikings being led by Kirk Cousins in 5 years. They're good enough to win a playoff game. That's the most disappointing part, man. You let the New York Giants get you 31-24, and you do exactly what everyone thought you were going to do. Look good in the regular season, then lose during the playoffs. And now they got to replace Adam Thielen, too. People might not see him as a big loss, but he's one of those catalyst guys to keep the chains moving. They got some things they got to do over there. And, yes, if I'm them, I'm looking at a quarterback to back up my guy, Kirk Cousins.
All right, running back talk. I got two stories here. One is a report about a top prospect, and one is a trade proposal involving the Seahawks. We'll start with the prospect. Top running back prospect Bijan Robinson went on an official visit with the Eagles on Monday. Philly holds the number 10 overall pick. Is that where we could see him go?
At number 10?
Number 10.
I just think that's too high for a running back.
When was the last high?
Saquon Barkley.
Was it Saquon? That was the last even like
top five? Two overall.
Yeah.
And certainly not the last first rounder, but the last like top 10 pick, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's been a long time, yeah.
But the Eagles, they just got Rashad Penny. Penny thinks he's going to be able to compete for a starting job over there. But if you bring in a Bijan Robinson, you got a nice little 1-2 combo off top, and then you don't have to rely on Penny staying healthy the whole season because he's shown that that's hard for him to do. I don't see them picking a running back at 10. If they do, it makes sense. I think running backs, you got to hold off as long as you can.
I wish you could combine his name with Charbonnet, and it's Bijan Charbonnet.
Nice.
I just think that's a really cool name
that
for anyone.
Sounds like some like Louisiana stuff. Bijan Charbonnet.
Right? I'm a lawyer. Esquire.
Bijan Bijan
Charbonnet. Someone said Jalen Carter at number 5 equals Stacey Rost at Lake Union. This shall not be forgotten. I don't remember that.
I remember.
I don't remember. We have to roll the tape. I don't remember saying that. All right. Next running back story here. One trade proposal that's been floating around. The Seahawks can acquire former first round running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire from the Chiefs. I'm mad at Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who I believed in until he completely sank my fantasy team by getting benched. Would you like this move? I'm biased.
Yeah, you're biased. You have reasons to be.
I have reasons to be mad at Clyde. Poor Clyde. Seems like a nice kid.
Yeah, I mean, he's what? 23 years old. Still pretty young. Has had a couple of good years. Nothing really outstanding, right? In 2020, he had 800 yards, 21-517, and then this past year, he had 302. The thing about him is he just can't stay healthy. 13 games, 10 games, 10 games. I think he's a nice compliment, but
he would not be my priority. No. I would rather see them draft a running back than I would go for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and it's not a knock on anyone so much as to say, like, he got benched, not just for being injured. Like, he got benched for a for Pacheco, right?
Pacheco, yep. And then you bring over McKinnon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Two questions from the Mackie Jacks text line I'm going to go ahead and incorporate into our headlines because they're about these two position groups we've just talked about, wide receiver and running back. From the 253, hey, Bump, is a wide receiver three or running back two more important?
Running back two.
For the Seahawks right now?
Yep, running back two. You got to go running back two. You past few years, you've always had a 1-2 combo. We just talked about how violent that position is. I'll talk about it more in four down territory. You always got to have a backup plan. With receivers, this offense can change this offense can change their personnel just a little bit. They can go two receivers and throw a tight end out there, double tight. They can do a lot of things. Number three receiver is more of a luxury for this offense, but I think they should go after one eventually.
That's kind of my next question. I'm going to go ahead and the 206 texting in a question about Lockett. I'm going to kind of blend it into a new question to jumpstart us on a conversation here. Is the focus on a wide receiver at 20 for some of these draft experts continuing to sleep on Tyler Lockett, which is what the 206 asked? Is it more that or being realistic about potentially the end of Lockett's career soon?
I think Lockett has reached a point in his career. He's 30 years old to where you're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. How long he can stretch this thing out, I think he's got at least 3-4 more good years in him. Now, 3 or 4 more good years, what does that look like? Because over the past, 3 or 4 seasons, 4 in a row, 1, 2, 3, 4, he's been over 1,000 yards. All right, you want to go 5 years, he almost got another 1,000 yards there. So technically, I can say, okay, we'll push him 5 years over 1,000 yards. That's a lot of wear and tear on the body. 740 targets, 533 receptions. We've seen him change his game over the past couple years, getting down. He understands it. So I think it's just preparation,
yeah,
right, for support. That's what you're doing when you have established veterans at positions, but you know they're getting up there. You have to support them. Tyler Lockett shouldn't be out there 98% of the snaps. You want to save him for those big moments because he can produce. So, no, I don't think they're sleeping on him. I think they're preparing.
We're going to swap to defense here. And speaking of defense, I would just like to say that me saying that I would jump into Lake Union if they drafted Jalen Carter at number 5 was before the news came out about Jalen Carter being involved with that accident. I would just like to make it known that this is before we thought his draft stock could take a
hit. So what does that mean?
That
you're not
going to
do it?
No. No. I said I would do it.
Tariq Woolen backpedal.
No. No. I'm not backpedaling.
Turn those hips. Turn
I'm not backpedaling. I'm just saying this was made at the time with the assumption that Jalen Carter, if he didn't go at number 1 overall because the Bears couldn't trade, would end up going number 3 to the Arizona
Cardinals.
And you
say all that to say
that I don't remember making this bet. I don't remember saying I would do that. I frankly don't remember. Already. I can't recall.
It's like the Richard Sherman defense. You know, sources say.
Sources. It's been alleged that I said that I would jump into Lake Union. I don't remember. I don't remember ever saying that. So I don't know what you guys are talking about. Celebrate Mariners opening day by joining us at our live broadcast outside the left field gates at T-Mobile Park. We're going to be live starting with us, Bump and Stacey, at 10 a.m., followed by Wyman and Bob. They're going to be taking you all the way up to the pregame show at 6 p.m. It's right around the corner. Very, very exciting stuff. Also right around the corner for us, you'll hear from KJ Wright what he thinks the Seahawks should do at number 5.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
I'm trying to find a way to search to find out when I said I would jump in Lake Union. It had to be something like, I'll jump in Lake Union if the Seahawks
draft Jalen Carter
no,
at number
I don't,
5.
I don't know. Maybe I said if they trade up to 3 and draft Jalen Carter at 3, then I would consider getting into a boat, going out on Lake Union.
It was Jalen Carter falling
Rose.
Number 5, the Seahawks drafting.
I don't remember what day I said that, and heretofore, it didn't happen. If I can find it, if we can roll the tape.
What I would love is if Roger Goodell steps to the podium at pick number 5. And on his card, somebody's written, this one goes out to Stacy Ross. The Seahawks take Jalen Carter.
I know. He'll go, Stacy Roast, looks like you're going swimming again. Good luck for that 10th place ribbon. I don't know what any of this means. Jalen Carter.
To the Seahawks.
It was brown. It was a brown ribbon.
Yeah, it's a brown ribbon. It was a brown ribbon. KJ Wright was on with Brock and Salk the other day, and he talked about a lot of Seahawks topics that we've all been talking about, so who better to get insight from? First, what he thinks the Seahawks should do at number 5. KJ, would you be opposed to drafting a quarterback?
I'm not opposed to that. I'm not opposed to that. And when you look at the contract, it makes sense for both parties. Hey, Geno, you had a phenomenal year, but your body of work, you've only done it for one
productive season. So it makes complete sense. If you play well, then we bring you back for year two. And so we are sitting there at number five, and their guy is there, in particular the quarterback from Florida. I do believe that the Seahawks could potentially make that pick. He's a young guy. He's fast, got a cannon for an arm. He can learn from Geno in his rookie year, and then he just takes off from there in year two. And so I'm intrigued to see what they do with it.
Not the first, but the second name we've heard today talk about Anthony Richardson out of Florida going to Seattle. Why do you think this name keeps getting linked to Seattle?
Because Stroud's going to be gone. Because
correct. He's going to the Panthers, and they won't admit it.
Bryce is going
to
be gone.
To Houston.
And who else needs a quarterback in front of them?
Indy.
Indy
probably
is
going to
go Levis because he reminds them of Andrew Luck in some type of way. So, yeah, he's the quarterback who's left. So if you're going to go quarterback, you're going to go Anthony Richardson. And then you think about his attributes. And when were the Seahawks the most successful is when they had an extremely mobile quarterback. Mm-hmm. So people see that and say, all right, well, he's extremely mobile. His accuracy is down a bit. He's 59% completion rate. Guess who's the most accurate quarterback in Seahawk history? Mr. Geno Smith. So now you get the athleticism, more athletic than Russell Wilson. Then you can learn the game from Geno Smith. That's why it makes sense to a lot of people, and you set yourself up for the future. I get it. I'm not opposed to it, but I do want Jalen Carter at five and Stacey in Lake Union.
Oh, well, KJ Wright personally hopes the Seahawks don't draft Jalen Carter.
I hope that they don't draft Jalen Carter. I mean, I know everyone loves him, you know, big guy, but the man terrifies me.
Why?
I've never seen a guy to literally throw away millions of dollars like this young man has. Just coming to your pro day, overweight, out of shape, can't finish. Who does that? And so, nope, he's not at number five, maybe with that number 17 or 18 pick that they have, but that high, I don't trust.
Don't take Jalen Carter at five. I'm going to toss in one other cut here, Bump, before I let you respond, because here's him expanding a little more on why he views some of Carter's red flags as especially dangerous.
I mean, when you have the red flags, I believe you should listen to them. You should see what a guy tells you. You know, guys tell you who they are. And do guys make mistakes? Absolutely. But when it's consistently like this happens and this happens and this happens, you should listen to it. And so when that did happen to Malik, we were all just devastated for him. It was a four-wheeler accident, right? No one wears helmets down in the country. But it's just something that unfortunately happened. And so when guys, you know, when Tony Dungy, I look at Tony Dungy, when he looks at some guys, he just scratches them off of his draft board. Like, if a guy's making these poor decisions year in, year out, I got to listen to him, especially if I'm investing millions of dollars into him. So when it comes to Jalen Carter, I knew going into their pro day, I'm like, I'm very interested to see how he shows up, how he performs, and then he's not able to finish. And so, no, I'm not going to take you as a number five pick. You're going to wait, and if down the line you're there, then I'll take a chance on you.
KJ is not the only person, Bump, to compare Jalen Carter, obviously, to a past drafted Seahawks defensive lineman and Malik McDowell. I will say this, though, to kind of tack on to KJ's point as like a devil's advocate argument. Jalen Carter is a better prospect than Malik McDowell was. Like, I will say that. Yeah. I think the temptation, whether or not the Seahawks, you know, pull the trigger, make that decision, whether or not another team does at five or between five and 10 or whatever, I don't see Jalen Carter. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Jalen Carter on paper is a better prospect than was Malik McDowell.
Jalen Carter was the best player on Georgia's defense when they had five guys drafted in the first round. That was a couple years ago. That's how good this young man is. And now I keep hearing about these character issues. What are we talking about? We're talking about the way he treats his teammates. I think that was something that we've heard. We also heard that he paid for a walk-on's lunch for a long
meals.
Time. We're talking about him racing and then obviously being in that situation, which is horrible. I understand. But other than that, I what are they talking about? Are you hearing something that I'm not hearing about? What else about Jalen Carter's character is being questioned?
The only thing with character that's being questioned that I've heard about is in general with obviously the entire incident that tragically took the lives of two people that he was involved in as someone else who was racing those people. And then also with the weight gain. And I think people look at it as work effort. Now, you've talked about this.
They've been talking about character since December.
That I don't get. Like, that what? I think, you know what I think that is? Because I don't know about December. The incident was obviously in January. I think that people knew about rumors about some of this and were talking about it prior to the news being released. I think that's part of it.
Okay.
I was going to say, I think another thing with Jalen Carter, I have read if there are any critiques, it's like, oh, well, he's inconsistent. Mm-hmm. And I think if people already have character questions, they tie not finishing plays or being inconsistent with character. Like if they already have character questions, and those two things can be completely unrelated. Mm-hmm. But if there are character questions, I think sometimes they get tied together.
And I think that's what's happening. And here's another thing. Carter might not be like the nicest person. Right. He might not be able to do what KJ does when he walks in here. And KJ takes his time with everybody.
Yeah, nice.
Says
dude.
Hello to people. He even go over to the news section where mm-hmm. we have no business being. Mm-hmm. And he has that likable personality. Some dudes just ain't likable. Mm-hmm. And I don't know enough about this kid. But I ask you those questions. I'm like, I need more specifics. Like, give me some situations where you can definitely say that this is just a bad dude. And I'm like, now, he has to be held accountable for his mistakes.
1,000%.
I am not trying to sweep that under the rug, but I keep hearing character. And I'm like, I've worked with people and I played with some people who I just don't like. I just don't like them. I think that they're not nice to people. They kind of treat people, you know, not bad, but they're just not inviting. And I think that with the Seahawks, part of your personality has to be they want you to be an inviting type of person. But if you are a number five pick, you're that good, some of that stuff they will ignore.
Okay, there's more here that I didn't have time to get to, and we won't have time because we're going to talk with Bob Condotta, and we'll ask Bob some of these questions about what he's heard about Jalen Carter. More of KJ can be found on the Brock and Salk podcast, though. He talks about whether he'd rather take Will Anderson, lots of good stuff there. Speaking of Bob Condotta and the Seahawks salary cap, Bob is going to join us next to tell us how much money the Seahawks have to spend in free agency. Don't go anywhere.